The theme for this year in Cathedral is Pursuing the Heart of God. It is a great theme, and you will, under this banner, you'll be hearing different sermons because it's broad enough for us to look at different things. But essentially, what sense we need to have this year, because Cathedral, as you can see from the Thanksgiving video, so much is going on. Some of you may be saying, praise the Lord so much, God. Some of you may say, oh no, another year of all that, right? This is such a busy church. But we must not really miss out the heart of it all. To pursue the heart of God, to pursue His presence, to pursue our relationship with Him on a personal basis, as well as how we relate to each other, the sense of community under God, right? And at the coming Leaders' Conference, I'll be unpacking it. But for this morning, I just sense led to look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I want to say, open your Bible to it. Right? It means keep your digital Bible to it. Right? Because you need to kind of scroll up and down. Or if you have your physical Bible, open to it so you can look at Psalm 84. Right. So let me just start by reading the whole psalm, because a psalm is a song, and you need to actually read the whole psalm. I'll be reading from the NIV version, Psalm 84, all right? I'll just read to you. How lovely is the dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the cause of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have a young. A place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my God and my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it the place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O Lord. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper, in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favors and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is a man who trusts in you. And Father, we ask that you may bless the words of my mouth, that together as we hear your word, our hearts will be encouraged, blessed, and directed. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when I read the Psalms, especially a psalm such as this, I sometimes feel uncomfortable. I notice that there is an intensity in the faith of the psalmist, which I sometimes don't see in my own life. There's an intense pursuit of God, a deep love, a longing, affection, and hunger for Him. In fact, C.S. Lewis, in his book, he only wrote one book about the Psalms, he dedicated a chapter to it, and how there's now a very English, very formal, of course, he's talking about his contemporaries during this time, very formal approach to God and religion. It's all very stoic and very unemotional. But he says that, you know, when he read the book of Psalms, there's an appetite for God that he don't often see among his contemporaries. I will say, 30 years ago, Singapore may be a bit different, but today, Singapore can come under the same criticism, the Church of Singapore. We are now clean, we are proper, we have good buildings. Almost every building is nicely air-conditioned. There's a lot of talk about moderation, about being sensible. And sometimes we frown when we see some Christians who seems to be rather going overboard emotionally. In fact, I search my heart and reflect on my earlier years as a Christian. How, when I came to the Lord at the age of 13, I stay in a house that is small, you know, and full of people. And so you can hardly do your devotion and pray. So I'll escape to the nearby playground. And I will climb up on top of, I'm not sure what you call it, this thing that you climb on top of, right? And I'll lie back and I look at the stars, and there I will do my devotion. And it won't just be once a month, it will be sometimes almost nightly. And I never miss a church service if I can help it. And I never miss a church prayer meeting. I just feel called, you know, to be part of the prayer life of the church. And in fact, once I was praying so loud, my youth pastor has to come into the room and say, "Why are you praying so loud?" Right? Of course, looking back, I was a bit foolish. I was distracting people with my loud praying. Right? So sometimes I look at myself. Of course, I may have matured. I've grown a bit older. Right? But still, I need to search my own heart. Have I lost my passion and my love for God? Someone said, passion is something that you can see. Of course, it's not only just that. A passion should be something you can see in a person. Some of you know that I have a passion for cooking. Right? You don't need to know that I've authored a cookbook to know that you hang around me long enough, you'll be cooking after a while, you know, as is happening to some of the people whom I'm close with. So when you have passion for something, well, sometimes it overflows, it affects the people around us. That's why I find it's good to look at Psalm 84. As you think about pursuing the heart of God, it is, of course, part of it is about a passion. To develop a love and a passion for God. It's often said that Psalm 84 is a psalm of the heart. A psalm, of course, is a song. Yeah? It's a psalm of the heart. And it is a psalm which drops with longing. So you always remember a psalm is a song. So we don't say Psalm chapter 34, right? You say Psalm 34. And because there are songs and poetry, you find the extremes. Sometimes anger is expressed, right? So you find expressed to the extreme. Sometimes love is expressed to the extreme. So Psalm is often full of passion. And certainly Psalm 84 tropes with longing. And when you look at this Psalm, you find these stanzas divided by the word Selah. In fact, after just now when I read, I should have observed that, the word Selah. Now, it's an amazing thing with all the scholarship that we have today, no one actually knew today what the word Selah means. So, what is it referring to? A Singaporean once did say to me, you know, the word Selah means when you are playing the psalm and singing a song, if your guitar string broke, then it said sailor, you know. So how the word sailor came about. Actually, no one knew. No one actually know today what's the meaning of the word sailor. But of course, common sense will also tell you that perhaps sailor is meant to be a pause, right? Because in olden days, when the words are scripted on a papyrus, right, there's no spacing. Certainly no paragraphing. It's all just words. Have you seen some of the ancient writings? That's the reason why they read aloud, right? Today, because you read silently. Because it's very hard to read a papyrus. And so the word Selah may well be there to denote that you're supposed to pause. Now, each stanza contains a beatitude. Whether I'm referring to, but I won't go into that. But it's the first stanza has to do with longing. The second stanza, a journey, and the third stanza, arrival. By stanza, what I mean is how it's broken up by the word Selah. Now, this journey to the temple, like other psalms, especially psalms, songs of the ascent, Psalm 121 onwards, can this journey to the temple can also be a picture of our own spiritual journey? All right. So, how can we grow in our passion for God? I just want to bring up some thoughts from this psalm. So, the first four verses, longing for His presence. I read it again. How lovely is your dwelling place. Oh, okay. I'm controlling it, right? There you go. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Mighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the cause of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I'll stop there. The journey to the temple may start from verse 5 onwards. But it actually starts here, in the heart of a worshipper. It starts with a deep longing for the courts or the dwelling place of the Lord. And he used the word living God. Not just referring to the creator of the world or to a God that has done something in the past, but a God who is alive and active. And here's how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. How lovely it is. And here the psalmist is crying, he's longing to encounter the living God. And he sees this place as a dwelling place. The idea of permanence, the idea, of course, of home. Most of you may not realize it, but I stayed for a good number of years in Orchard Road. Right? Good number of years. We were there because we were staying in a house that actually belongs to my parents-in-law. Our family grew with Sarah. My mother came down. And so the flat we were staying in was too small. And so my in-law said, "Why don't you come and stay with us?" It's very interesting. When you stay in Orchard Road, or when you're visiting Orchard Road, it's very, very different. The feeling is very different, right? So because the sense of home, because today I look at Orchard Road, well, it's just a place of commerce. But there was a stage where it was actually home for me. And so this person longed for the dwelling place of God. And this word presence is the same word for the word presence that's mentioned in the book of Numbers, so referring to the presence of God in the clouds. So it's not just referring to a place. This psalm is talking about the presence of God, of course, associated with regular worship in the temple. So it's not more than just a sentimental longing for a building. There are people, a lot of people I know, very sentimental about the nave, right? So therefore, the nave, imagine you can never replace the nave. Many people got married there. That day I was just asked to come down to bless a couple who was married there 50 years ago, right? So I met them at the in the nave, and it's quite amazing. You know, 50 years later, they're back in the same spot, and they know the church will still be there, because this church will always be there. But this longing is not just sentimental longing for a building, but a longing for His presence, a longing for the presence of God, a longing to experience, to be in God's presence. So it starts with this longing, even before his feet move, even before he takes MRT to church. He longs for that. And I pray, and I've said from time to time, I'm sure Pastor Harley as well, that 11:30s here in the prayer hall will grow to be a spiritual sanctuary. It takes time, right? It doesn't happen immediately. But through repeated coming, as God begins to speak to you, work in your life, you begin to have fellowship with other brothers and sisters, this becomes a sacred place, a holy place, a place, a pilgrimage, a high point in the week after you long to be a part of, where you experience God's presence. So, brothers and sisters, it starts with this. So I want to ask, like this psalmist here, is there a longing? Does your soul yearns for within you, even faint for the cause of the Lord? Right? And this person is envious of the sparrow and swallow. They are different species. Who have found a nest, they have nested in some of the crevices, some of the holes in the walls of the temple, where she have a young placed near your altar. Some people read into this about your families longing as a family to attend church, to be part of church. But it starts with this high view of God's presence, high view of His house and His place, a longing for His presence. So the first thing I want to ask us in pursuing the heart of God, do we here in the cathedral, do we here in the 11:30 long for the presence of God? I do long for His presence. I know it's exciting to be pastoring a big church. There's so much going on. I'm certainly proud to be the vicar of St. Andrew's Cathedral. But I long most of all for God by His Holy Spirit to work in powerful and refreshing way, especially so that the younger people can see God for themselves, not just through the parents and through hearsay, but also experience the reality of God for themselves. Secondly, strength in our pilgrimage. Strength in our pilgrimage. I'll read. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it the place of springs. Autumn rains also cover it with pools, and they go from strength to strength till each appear before God in Zion. Verse 8, hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look at our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. And those whose strength is in the Lord, the psalmist said, are those that have set their hearts on the pilgrimage. So it's going to repeat the first few ideas. But you have these traits that have set their hearts on a pilgrimage. In other words, they set their hearts on a certain direction and a certain destination. Right? And they've never lost sight of this fact as they journey towards the destination. In fact, in the NASV, it says, whose hearts are the highway of Zion. I think this is a very interesting mix of metaphor. Whose hearts are the highways of Zion. By the way, when I was reading this verse, what came to me was what Jennifer went through last year in the surgery. Because when the doctor did the update, a checkup, and he had to broke the terrible news to us and why this operation was necessary. And there's some kind of growth from the kidney into this huge and main artery, which could therefore be life-endangering. So the doctor said, no choice, but we have to go in, remove this growth, and patch it up again. And this surgeon is known to be, actually a surgeon, is a good friend of ours, another Anglican friend. But he wanted to be as realistic as possible and pain to prepare us for the worst. And so he said, imagine highways they are going on. They're still traveling. It's not, this is even worse than heart surgery. In heart surgery, you shut the whole system down, you take the heart out, repair the heart, put the heart back in, and you fire up the system again. But in this case, the whole body has to be living and breathing, right? So imagine, help me picture, the highways are going on, and then you block this part of the road, and quickly go in and do the work, and then come out, and then remove the blockage, right? But while that's going on, the highway, the roads are still traveling on, the bloods are still flowing, you know? So there could be massive blooding. So you can paint a lot of scenarios for us. So really, as I'm listening to him, oh Lord, you know, look at just the fear and depression. But here's very interesting. So that remind me of that, how it can be a highway. But here, the psalmist saw the heart as a highway of Zion. He saw the heart as, or the pilgrimage, he saw the journey in the heart of a pilgrim. The pilgrimage in the heart of a pilgrim, in his heart. That his heart is highway where God can work, where God can do something. It's not locked up in bitterness or anger, in selfishness or in condemnation. But his heart is a place where God can work. So in a sense, where you go, knowing where you go, brothers and sisters, will determine how you react in the journey. And the psalmist used the word, whose strength is in you, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it the place of springs. Again, it's hard to determine where this valley of Baca is actual valley on one's journey to the temple. Perhaps it is. But what we do know is that it's supposed to be a connotation of a negative place, right? Somewhere that's dry. In fact, the word Baca can be translated bitter. So it could be a bitter springs where there's no vegetation, no plants will grow. But as you pass through, you can turn it into springs. In fact, the word Baca in Hebrew, you know, Baca, you know what I mean? It's not nice sounding. So you don't call your child Baca Wong, you know. You never name it, right? So this is something that's very negative. But this person whose strength is in the Lord, even when he go through periods of dryness and periods of bitterness, he will still be strong, you see? Because he's not there to stay. He's only just passing through and has set his eyes on the destination. But we do know, of course, experientially, what the valleys of Baca can be. Dry seasons, seasons of stress, seasons of trials, maybe a relationship breakdown, whatever, or health, right? Sometimes it can be a tragedy, someone who has passed away. But it says a person whose hearts are the highways of Zion, highways of Zion, where God is at work. These valleys of Baca can turn into a spring. Bitter water into spring. And instead of turning you bitter, it can make you better. And in fact, the pools will rise up, and from this bitter water, the pilgrim can actually refresh himself into water that signifies health and turn it around, and his faith can grow from strength to strength. I can still recall, in fact, recently we were in Pelang Jaya, so we passed through some places. And when I passed through, I would tell my children, my ex used to live here, ex-girlfriend. Of course, I stayed in Fiji all these years, right? So my first few girlfriends, not many, just... Ali is laughing. Just one or two. But I still recall, there was one that I gotten quite close to. Only 6 months of a relationship, I was... chairman of the ministry, and she was a vice chairman. So as we served together, somehow we got involved emotionally, right? Of course, we are always too young, all right, to have a courtship, right? After O levels, but a lot of time in our hands, you know. So, but we went deep for a while, but something went wrong, you know. I won't go into all the details, but it didn't work out, and she was the one who said no. So I've never experienced rejection before. I can tell you something, don't ask for it. You know, I cannot sleep, I almost feel like I'm going to die. And being immature, I keep pestering her. You know, the thing ladies need to, when you're in a conflict with someone, tells you a courtship, bear in mind. It's not important to give space. But I didn't know how to give space, and still bugging. Until one day, her elder brother set me aside and gave me a talk down. And say, you know, she's going through this and that. Please leave her alone. Leave her alone. You know. Or I tell you, that period of my life was really crushed. I don't know how to handle these kind of emotions. But you know, that period was also a period where God did a deep work in my life. There was a renewal that's going on. I came down to Singapore. I met up with my friend. And he was really, wow, he was just beaming with the presence of God. You know, so I spent time talking to him. And the Lord did such a deep work in my life. I'm not emotional as a person, I don't often cry easily, but that period of my life, each time I walked to a service, I cried. Each time there's a worship song, I cried, you know, because the Lord just doing a deep renewal work in my life. That experience with God actually propelled me to where I am today. Let me move into varsity with a certain momentum, and from then move on to serve God in the full-time ministry. So it was a very painful experience. I could end up bitter, angry with God or something, right? But we'll end up a better person. In fact, now I have a better wife. I only have one wife, but a better companion, much, much better. God's plan is always perfect. Always remember that. Yeah? So I'm very blessed today. But that Baca experience was very helpful. So what are you going through, brothers and sisters? As the year opens, what have you gone through last year? If you have set your heart to follow God, nothing is going to move you. And I've set my heart to follow God, right, from the age of 13. When I first started my ministry as a church worker, they told me, you're going to get $700. Wow, how are you going to survive on that, right, $700? But Pastor, don't worry, we have house allowance. $200. I thought, oh, house allowance, $200. Well, big deal, you know. It's going to change my life, you know. But... you know something? I accepted all these things. Trusting, I know my destination, right? I want to serve Him. I want to serve out His purpose. Remember the vision? I think few weeks ago, I shared about that. To raise missionaries to serve Asia. That's my vision. That's also my desire to serve God. And nothing can stop you if you have set your sights on where God will take you. You are a pilgrim and you are passing through. The third point, there's a lot more can be said from this psalm, but in interest of time, I'll move on. So verse 10, about coming home. Right? So it started with anticipating the journey, longing for the journey. He took this journey, he go through good places, and difficult places, but he's still on this journey. Then and this is the point of arrival. He has come home. So verse 10, and he said, it's better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. So as he comes, he's walked into the church, into the temple, greeted by the ushers. Now he envied the ushers. I'd rather be an usher in the house of God, or maybe the caretaker, right? Some ushers are vergers, for example. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he behold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so the pilgrim finally reached the temple. And he says, it's better to be in the courts of the Lord as a doorkeeper than to be in the tents of the wicked. That's very, very interesting comparison. I'd rather be on the threshold of something good than be right at the center of something that is wicked. I'd rather experience one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I had a very vivid dream. This was almost a year ago. The dream was so vivid, I just shared with another clergy. I never told my wife about this dream. But in this dream, I dreamt and I saw Jennifer, my wife, and a very good friend of her going to church. I could even hear the worship songs coming from the church. And that is always a wonderful picture. And that's true. You know, Jennifer is always wanting to serve God. She sang in a choir recently, you know. Sing, you know, and she rehearsed in the room, drove me crazy. But she loves the things of God, you know. That's Jennifer. And that dream, in a sense, is a very true reflection. I saw her doing that. But I found myself trapped in another part of the city. It's like a very shanty, very run-down part of the city. And the colours were very dim. I could hear from far away the church bell ringing and my wife and her friend going to church. And I wanted to join them. But I found myself trapped in this shanty town. And I walked into this room one day, I just cannot come out. What is it? I saw, you know, a lady, I suppose could be a prostitute or something. But I just knew it wasn't right. It wasn't the right place to be in. And I found myself trapped, and my heart was longing to be with my wife. Right? And I just wake up just like that. Maybe the Lord is saying something, I don't know. So I just shared with a clergy friend. Such an interesting experience, reminding. And actually reminded me, in fact, as I read through this psalm, reminded me of that dream. And here the psalmist said, I'd rather be in God's house than in the tents of the wicked. I just say this. I'm not sure what the tents of wicked are like today in Singapore. Right? Believe you or not, I've never stepped into a club. Never, right? Actually, I did once to receive... What's on? And I brought along a lady, and that's my daughter, because it was a blogger, food blogger kind of award thing, you know, dishing out. So they use the club as a premise. So Ben is very interesting, look at the nightclub, you know, just wow, you know, yeah. I'm not sure what the tense of the wicked, to be fair, I'm not sure. You know, maybe not every nightclub is bad, I don't know. I mean, be naive, right? But sometimes it's a very important question for us Christians to ask, right? That is, which is better? To be right in the heart of things of God or to be part of the things of the world? It's a question you have to decide. Right? Not for me. If I say, you say, oh, pastor, you should say that. Right? And my prayer for you that through your own experience that you one day come to a clear decision. I'd rather be in the house of the Lord. Yeah. Not because of wrong and right, because you actually do know it's going to benefit you. Actually know that it is full of me, like the dream, you know, right? That all this glitz hides an emptiness, hides a sin, hides an entrapment. Some can be drugs. Because some can be sexual misdemeanor or wrong relationship. And you can know that, the different things, the tents of wicked today that appeal to us. But I pray, it's my prayer for St. Luke's Cathedral that it's a place that's so beaming with God's presence that young people will be drawn to it, even older people, not just young people, right? And we'll say, I'd rather be an usher here than be dancing and boogieing away, you know, I don't know, in Zouk or whatever, right? Yeah. Right. I'd rather being God's house. In fact, St. Paul used the same word. You know, St. Paul in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. When we count all the things he accomplished before he came to Christ, you know what he said? I count it as dung. It's more acceptable word. I can't use the word, you know, SH, you know. But actually, in Greek, it meant that word, you see. It's very unpolite to use that word today. But in Greek, it actually meant that, you know. And Paul just counted as, whew, you know, compared to the privilege of knowing Christ. So it's my prayer that as we seek the Lord together here in Cathedral, and I'm sure a prayer for every other church in Singapore, as we seek the Lord together, the things of God is so exciting that first it pulls us to it, and we can also ask, look at other people and say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord, because there is a far better place to be with. The next slide. As we know, who am I talking to? Myself, you know. 2018, a year of prayer, declared by many churches. And here we add on this tagline, pursuing the heart of God. Two quick things I want to say. Now, first of all, it's my prayer for you that this year, that you will grow. See, I use the word grow, because it's never something that's properly, fully under control. You grow in your devotional life, your time you spend alone with God. Now, I used to think that I find that I could spend time with God when I was younger. And now as I grow older, it's harder. So I thought maybe it's something come with age. Sometimes you grow older, you read the Bible, jelak adi lah, because you read so many times, right? So you rather read something else. Or maybe you grow old, so attention span a bit, not like before. Then I realized, I talk to young people, they too struggle with regular devotion, right? It's a challenge. I read an article recently, and that's to say, IT Bible, iPhone Bible or iPad Bible is great for research and preaching. Very good, actually. Nowadays, you can actually prepare your sermon, Harley will tell you that, with just a computer and internet. You must have internet, right? And you can link to all the resources, concordance, Greek words, whatever, great commentaries. In the past, you used to have to go to a library, a physical library, to do that. Now you don't need. So it's a great place to learn God's word. But when it comes to devotion, some of you may be able to do it, but most of us will struggle to be able, because of distraction, you see, right? You put your iPhone, then before you know it, beep, 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 you know, a lot of news information, or someone trying to message you. There was a time, I still recall, was in varsity. In those days, there isn't a handphone, let alone a smartphone, right? And so when you bring your Bible, of course, Bible. In those days, they say Bible means Bible. Printed Bible, there's no other Bible, right? So anyway, I brought the Bible. I still remember I was in Nassim Road in Raffles Hall, and I would go to the law faculty. What today is the law faculty? I go to the steps and read. God's word, zero distraction. All you hear is birds, you know. And that's just what you read. But then once in a while, you bring a sister along to do. I mean, you know, nothing happened, but just encourage her to do devotion, you know. That's about it. But often alone. Often alone. But do you know, in this modern day, young people, old people will say it's so difficult, isn't it? It's nearly impossible. If you're relying on iPhone, I don't know, what may happen is the Bible is just a reference. So be careful. The Bible just become a reference. I'm not old school and say you must have a printed Bible. But I want to encourage you to consider, if the Bible has become just a reference to you, then maybe it's time to rethink carefully. Now, what I do have in my iPad is a proper Bible. Even that iPad sometimes can still be a distraction, especially when there's wireless. So I do have a printed Bible that I sometimes just lock myself in to spend time with the Lord. And guess what? Your phone, even though you're on earth, you can still put airplane mode. You don't need to fly and then put airplane. You know what I say? Right. So something you can put airplane, it's okay. Half an hour, the world is not going to collapse. Harley is chasing you, ignore him, you know. But half an hour, it's okay to spend time with God. Now, secondly, of course, church prayer meeting. And I end it with that note. I pray that this year, when we come together to pray, it'll be exciting. Whether 11:30, you have contenders, right, on Friday night, small groups, or as a church together. I pray that it will be an exciting time of seeking God's presence. And I pray for this year that our culture, there's a certain culture of prayer in Singapore versus the culture of prayer in Korea. They are way up here, and we are here. Not even there. We know how bad it is. Even once a month, one of the prayer meeting I was praying with the brother, and he said, he was crying, almost in tears, no? Lord, forgive us. Even once a month, we can't pray, you know. That's a problem, huh? But in Korea, they pray every day, not every day, every morning. It's very amazing. So we are way down here. But I pray in cathedral, in churches in Singapore, that somehow that culture will shift a bit. That we begin to structure our time, give priority to prayer as a discipline, right? And say, I'll shape my life around prayer. And I believe the church can be much for God in Singapore if we are much in prayer. So help us. May the Lord help us here in the cathedral to build, to indeed be a house of prayer. So Father, Lord, we thank you for Psalm 84. We thank you that you have called us to passionate living and passionate believing. Perhaps some of us here, our faith is unclear. We ask that you may lead us to the point where we can be clear ourselves. Where will we be? One day in the house of the Lord or spending our time in the tents of the wicked? Teach us this year, Lord, what it means, how to, like this psalmist, to be on a pilgrim, be on a pilgrimage, be on a journey. Journeys that is pursuing you and seeking after you. And we pray especially for this service, Lord, may continue to be filled with your presence. This indeed will be a spiritual home for many. Thank you, Lord. A place that attracts people to the presence, love, and the reality of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.